3 days of darkness. What is this? What is the origin of this? Is this anything new? And the better question is this legit and is it Bible prophecy? Is this in scripture? We're going to cover all this on today's podcast. Let's talk about it today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. We got a great program lined up for you tonight. Listen, before we get started, I need you to do me a favor. Hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification. This is going to help others find our programs and find our material just, and they can enjoy it just like you do. And of course, always, we have a free app. If you've not downloaded our free app today, we want to encourage you to do that. It's available on Apple and Android devices. For you guys watching the visual of this, you can get this by going to the description of this video. You're going to see where it says download our free app. Just hit yes to push notifications and you're going to be good to go and squared away. For you guys that are watching, listening by Apple or by Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast from, again, just go to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you, Android or Apple, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH trademark logo, download our app today, hit yes to push notifications, and this is how you're going to keep up with our ministry. And again, for all of you guys that are watching and you're in the chat group on YouTube, you're watching maybe by Rumble, we want to welcome you to the program. Let us know in the comment section below that you are new, where you guys are joining us from, and we would love to acknowledge you. And of course, again, we want to welcome all of you guys out there in podcast land on Apple and Spotify. So today, I don't know if you have noticed this, but I have noticed there is a lot of trending going on with this theme that we're going to talk about today. Now, here on your screen, I pulled up, this is, for example, you can go to YouTube and you can just search for this and you'll see all kinds of videos coming up. Again, all over YouTube, all over Instagram, all over TikTok, all over Facebook and Twitter, and it's all over the place, blogs, and it's all about the coming 3 days of darkness. Now, what is this about? Where is the origin of this? So I thought we could tackle this today. I'm going to, first of all, let me talk about the origin of this. And then we'll go from there. So the origin of this 3 days of darkness is when I started digging into this and researching into this, it's a eschatological quote unquote prophecy of future events that is highly esteemed. And it seems to appear that the origin of this, the alpha of this quote unquote prophecy of 3 days of darkness came from among Catholic circles. According to research that I have done myself, this prophecy allegedly foretells 3 days and three nights of an intense darkness that will allegedly cover the whole earth, against which, now listen to this, the only light will come from, and again, I'm going to give you you go back and do your own research and you'll discover this. For example, what I'm reading from you can find on Wikipedia. Let me just pull it up here. Again, this is from Wikipedia, 3 days of darkness. This is not something that is inclusive books that nobody has access to, guys. We have all this information right at our fingertips. Again, according to this alleged prophecy, there will be an intense darkness that will cover the whole earth, against which the only light will come from a, quote, blessed beeswax candles, during which all the enemies of the church will perish. Now, we'll talk about this quote-unquote beeswax candles in a minute. The prophecy parallels the 10 plagues against Egypt in the book of Exodus. So let's take you there. Let me take you to this. This is the reference to this, okay? Now, this is a past tense event. This has happened. This is not a future event. This is a past tense happened. One of the plagues of Egypt that was sent against Egypt was this plague of darkness. Let me read this. This is in Exodus 10:21 for you guys that are listening by Spotify and Apple. Then the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven that there may be, now I want to highlight some stuff here, there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. Somebody say darkness over the land of Egypt. It didn't say darkness over the whole earth. That's an important key here. All right. Darkness, which may even be felt. Let me say that again. Darkness, so intense that it can be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand towards heaven, and there was thick darkness. Somebody say thick darkness. And all the land of Egypt for 3 days. Now, where was this darkness? I just want to see if you're paying attention tonight. It was across Egypt, not the whole world, across Egypt. And the Bible says it was such an intense and thick darkness that in verse 23 of Exodus 10, they could not see one another, nor could no one rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. I said all of the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So, therefore, this was not across the whole planet. There was a distinction made between the Egyptians and the Israelites, between God's people and those who were not serving God. Okay, I just want to point that out here. So this, when you go back to this alleged prophecy, let me go back over here to Wikipedia. This is the reference for this. They reference something past tense as one of the plagues. And then they also reference the apocalypse of John. That would be the Revelation, the book of Revelation, wherein which he mentions a plague of unnatural darkness as an effect of the sixth seal, Revelation 6:12. Now, we got a problem here with this too. Now, here's that verse, Revelation 6:12. Here's what John saw. I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. All right, stop, guys. Nowhere in this passage of Scripture did John reference 3 days of darkness, and nowhere did he say that it was an unnatural darkness. We see here that there is a great earthquake. Again, in Greek, that's megos. This is a mega quake, and it's in conjunction with the sun becoming black and the moon becoming blood. Now, if you guys have followed our ministry by any length of time, we have pointed these things out. When it talks about the sun turning into darkness and the moon turning into blood, there can be multiple there can be multiple scenarios in which that could be brought about. One, from a rabbinical standpoint, blood moons and black suns are references to solar eclipses and lunar eclipses, or what we would call solar eclipses and blood moons. That's very significant. And again, we've talked about this, solar eclipses, according to rabbinical perspectives, okay? Solar eclipses are omens or harbingers for Gentile nations. That's all going to come into play in this segment later on. Blood moons, however, when they appear over Israel or in the Middle East, typically Israel, and they fall on feast days of Israel, then they are harbingers or omens to the nation of Israel. Meaning it could mean trouble. It could mean transition. It could be a transition of empires. It could be war. It could be famine. It could be plagues. Again, it has a negative connotation to it. And let me give you a secondary interpretation. Now, again, what I'm telling you, we're not reaching beyond the realm of, number one, Scripture, and two, this is all backed up by most theological interpretations, okay? Scholars, theologians who all have read this and studied this, that has done this far longer than I have. They give you either one, the interpretation I just gave you from a rabbinical standpoint, or two, when you get over to, like, for example, Joel chapter 2, let me bring that up for you. Now, when you get over here in Joel chapter 2, He talks about this outpouring of the Spirit, sons and daughters being impacted, dreams and visions being poured out, God pouring out his Spirit upon sons and daughters. And then you get to verse 30 and 31. He said, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. And look at verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Stop. Again, notice it coincides with blood, fire, pillars of smoke. So again, this could be reference to volcanic eruptions where in which the ash goes up into the atmosphere and it blots out the sun, and the moon would look like a color of blood because of the volcanic ash. And then some scholars say that this could be a reference to some type of nuclear war happening on the earth that could also produce this. Okay, so you have rabbinical perspective, which is blood, moon, solar eclipses. Then you have the interpretation of this could be volcanic eruptions that could produce this. And then you have, again, it could be the reaction of, or the results of a nuclear war happening upon the earth. But don't miss what I'm trying to tell you. Let's get back to this. According to this alleged 3 days of darkness prophecy, it has been said, again, they give you these references to Exodus 10:21, which is past tense. They reference John the Revelator, which when you study that out, that's really stretching that to make that fit into this 3 days in darkness. Because number one, it doesn't even say that at all. At least in Exodus 10, it mentions 3 days of darkness. But in John's writing in Revelation chapter 6, there's no mention of that. And in fact, there is no unnatural darkness that is produced there. Now, I want to show you this. Look at this on Wikipedia, okay? Right? I know you guys are not watching this by Apple or by Spotify. If you go and you type in 3 days of darkness on Wikipedia, I'm telling you, you're going to see what I'm looking at. And I'm going to read this. All right, let me read this. The prophecy parallels the 10 plagues against Egypt in the book of Exodus, which we just referenced. The apocalypse of John also mentions a plague of unnatural darkness as an effect of the sixth seal, Revelation 6:12, which is this great earthquake. Again, it's not an unnatural darkness. There's no mention of 3 days and three nights of darkness there. And then they reference the fifth vial, Revelation 16:10. Well, we got a problem with this too. Now let me go bring that up. Revelation 16:10. They want to reference this. John says, and then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. Now this is talking about the Antichrist and his kingdom. And his kingdom became full of darkness. So here again, this is a judgment against the Antichrist who is sitting upon his throne and his kingdom. And it says his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. Now again, they're referencing right here, became full of darkness. So again, you cannot, they're being very dogmatic about this and really stretching this to make it fit this 3 days and three nights of darkness. Now we're going to go back to Wikipedia. Look what it says here at the end of this. However, look at this. The specifics of the 3 days of darkness prophecy, this is very important, guys, are derived from private revelation. Let me say that one more time. The specifics of the 3 days of darkness prophecy are derived from private revelation. Now, why is that important? Because if you know your scripture, this should ring a bell to you. Let me take you to 2 Peter. Oh, come on. 2 Peter chapter 1. Some of you is going to learn something new today. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start down here at verse 16. 2 Peter 1:16. 2 Peter 1:16. For we did not, this is Peter talking about him, himself, and the apostles. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we, he's referencing himself and the apostles, heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Verse 19, and so we, now when he says we here, he's talking about every individual that is a believer in Christ, a follower in Christ. So we have, look what he says, the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. How about that? In reference, it talks about a dark place and a light shining in that dark place. And look what he says here, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Verse 20, knowing this first, this is very important, that no prophecy of Scripture, I said no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? It means, listen, when we talk about prophecy in the end times, okay, there is what I like to call two types of prophecy. There is absolute prophecy and there's conditional prophecy. I've taught this many times. Let's talk about conditional prophecy first. Conditional prophecy is not end time eschatological last days prophecy. That's not what we're talking about here. Conditional prophecy is if you come to the house of God, because listen, I believe that the gifts are here. I believe prophecy is still here. I believe prophetic utterances are still available today. I believe the office of the prophet is still available. I don't believe that this was all done away with in the fourth century. We are not cessationist here. The Holy Spirit was not done away with. He has not left the earth. He's still moving in earth, moving through men and women, still pouring out a spirit upon all flesh, sons and daughters, and dreams and visions are still being given. And God is still moving in the earth today through the people of God. Come on, young and old. So I want to preface that right off the bat. So we're not despising prophecy here, but what I'm telling you is there's a distinction. There's a difference here. So when you go into the house of God and a man of God lays hands on you, or he speaks a prophetic word over you and your destiny, he gives you a word of knowledge. He gives you a word of wisdom. He gives you a word that bears witness with you. It's something that God has been speaking to you in your private private devotional time. So, for example, you get a word from the Lord that God has called you to be an evangelist. And this bears witness with you because you have a burden for the lost. You have a burden to travel and preach the gospel. Now, listen, but this is a conditional prophecy because God, number one, God is not going to twist your arm. And he's not going to make you, come on, walk in his will. You have a free will. Second of all, faith without works is dead. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightfully divides the word of truth. How can you be a man of God or a woman of God and preach the gospel and be an evangelist if you don't have the word of God in you? You don't want to be in the word, in his presence, come on, in prayer, and none of these things. Then listen, then that's not God's fault. God has given you his will, his heart, and his purpose for your life, but it's your responsibility to walk in that. So listen, don't miss what I'm saying. That's a conditional prophecy. If you will walk in this, I will do this. If you will do this, God says, I'll do that. If you obey me, I'll open the windows of heaven. But if you disobey, if you don't do this, if you walk away, or if you neglect this, then this and this and that will happen. Okay, somebody say conditional. Now, there is what's called unconditional. Now, unconditional eschatological prophecy is this. According to your Bible, there is going to be eight final empires of prophecy, and the eighth empire that John saw in the book of Revelation is going to be the empire of the Antichrist. There is coming an Antichrist. There's coming a false prophet. There's coming a mark of the beast. There's coming an image of the beast. There's coming the four horses of the apocalypse. There's coming the Euphrates River drying up to make way for the kings of the east. There's coming all these things that the Bible foretells. And there is nothing that you and I can do to stop it. There's not a president. There's not not a government, there's not a world power, there's not a political party, and there's not an intercessor in this planet that is going to stop Bible prophecy from being fulfilled. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about there's conditional prophecy and there's unconditional prophecy. So here's the point I'm trying to make. So when an individual gets up, a watchman, a man of God, a woman of God, and they begin to preach or teach on the Word of God, and they tell you of these foretelling events such as Revelation 13, the kingdom of the beast, which will have a buying, selling, and trading system. It'll be a governance. It'll be a governed, controlled kingdom by the Antichrist and the false prophet. These things are not of private interpretation, guys. These things have already been written for thousands of years, and they're in the 66 books of the Bible. But when you step outside of that, and you start creating these prophecies. Now, I'm going to tell you someone who's very notorious for this, and many of you know exactly who I'm talking about, because he is always mentioned on the History Channel, Discovery Channel, and all these networks that get into the apocalypse and doomsday and all this stuff. They inevitably circle back around and they get right to Nostradamus. Now, who was Nostradamus? He was a French astrologer. That should be enough right there. There's a red flag right off the bat. He was heavy into astrology, which is forbidden. He was an alleged seer or quote unquote prophet. When you do a little bit of digging on this guy, he started out into medicine, but then while he was in Italy, Nostradamus began to move away from medicine and he began to advance towards the occult. Following popular trends, he wrote an almanac for 1550 for the first time in print. He was so encouraged by the almanac's success that he decided to write one or more annually. So every year he was writing these quote-unquote almanacs. And they've been known to contain at least over 6,000 quote-unquote prophecies. So as he gained traction, people began to flock to him. They began to require horoscopes and psychic advice. It was also said that Nostradamus would enter into these types of meditations and he would go into these full-blown trances and visions, and then this is how he would write these things down. Guys, it was absolutely demonic of origin. But yet, listen to me, you will have Christians. We will have church-going folks that will quote Nostradamus. They will watch that nonsense. And they will quote Nostradamus. They know the 9 prediction of Nostradamus, but they don't know anything about the book of Daniel. And they can't even quote half of the things that John talked about in the book of Revelation, that these things are actually true, but yet they'll quote a false prophet. So it's no surprise to me, listen to me, that this stuff is circulating on the internet about this 3 days and 3 nights of darkness nonsense, that again, even Christians are gullible and they fall for this stuff. And I've seen them. They're all over the place, guys. Just go out there and I'm not going to pull up video after video and showing you this stuff. Go on YouTube, go on Instagram, go on TikTok. You'll see them. They're all over the place. So isn't it interesting that Peter said that no prophecy is of a private interpretation? And they're everywhere. And people are buying it hook, line, and sinker. Now, I'm going to give you 2 references to where this stuff originated from. Now, I'm going to say this right off the bat. I'm not here to bash Catholics, okay? So if you're Catholic and you listen to our broadcast and our podcast, this is not here to trash you or bash you. But from my research, this was a Catholic prophecy. This originated from, it stemmed out of a Catholic doctrine. And there was 2 individuals. One of them was called Anna Maria Tagi. She lived between 1769 and 1837. It was noted that Anna Maria stated that she said that there would come 3 days of darkness, and reportedly described the event as follows, quote, "There shall come over the whole earth." Now notice she said the whole earth, "an intense darkness lasting 3 days and 3 nights. Nothing can be seen, and the air will be laden with pestilence, which will claim mainly, but not only, the enemies of religion. quote, it will be impossible to use any man-made lighting during this darkness. Now, listen what she said here. Now, remember, her faith is Catholicism. And she said, quote, it will be impossible to use any man-made lighting during this darkness except blessed candles. He who out of curiosity opens his window to look out or leaves his home will fall dead on the spot. During these 3 days, people should remain in their homes and pray to the rosary and beg God for mercy. Now, guys, again, if you know your scriptures, there should be all kinds of red flags and alarms just blaring here. Number one, again, they reference Exodus when that event is past tense. Two, it only the darkness happened in Egypt, not the whole world. Number three, this individual who claims that this was from God said that the only source of light would come from blessed candles. Well, I've got a problem with that because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then he as he goes into gets ready to depart from this earth to be seated at the right hand of the Father, he looks at us, the disciples, he looks at the believers, and he said, ye are the salt of the earth. You are a city set upon a hill. He said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But again, if you read this and if you actually believe this, this actually goes into the face and it contradicts what Jesus even said. And then another red flag, it says that people are to remain in their homes and pray to the rosary and beg God for mercy. Let me read on here. Quote, all of the enemies of the church, whether known or unknown, will perish over the whole earth during this universal darkness. Again, nowhere in scripture, guys. It's not in Daniel's writings. It's not in Ezekiel. It's not in Zechariah. It's not in Joel. And it's not in the book of Revelation. This is nowhere to be found. She goes on to say that, quote, that this universal darkness will sweep the earth and everyone will perish. It's not with God, with the exception of a few whom God will soon convert. Convert to what? I would venture to say Catholicism. The air shall be infected by demons who will appear under all sorts of hideous forms. Now, folks, listen to me. The Bible, nowhere in Scripture does it tell us to pray to the rosary. In fact, this form of prayer originated during the Middle Ages, and it was adapted by the Catholic Church. Not only do they pray to the rosary, but then they use these terms like Hail Mary and portions of the Hail and Holy Queen and all these terms to Mary that are absolutely unbiblical. Again, there's no scriptural basis for any of us to pray to Mary. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through the Son. Jesus said, he is the propitiation of our sins. He is the mediator. He stands between, come on, us and God. We have to go through who? Christ. Not a priest, not a rosary, not blessed candles, again, none of this stuff is biblical, guys. This right here cancels out anything this woman has to say. And again, was she a good person? Probably so. But, you know, to say she wasn't a false prophet is an understatement. And listen, I don't have time to get into how the Roman Catholic Church makes these claims about Mary, that she was saved from sin differently from everyone else, that she was saved through immaculate conception, and that this is why a lot of them, I'm not saying all of them, if you're listening, if you're Catholic and you don't do this, then that's great. But there's a lot of them out there, they pray to Mary as an intercessor. So I'm going to make that clear. We are commanded not to pray to dead saints. Come on, we're not to pray to objects. We're not to pray to idols or any of this stuff. You go to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, and Jesus teaches us how to pray. Okay, that's in the scriptures. All right, let me go. I got to move on here. Then there's a second individual by the name of Marie Julie Jonahy. Again, this was an individual known as the Breton Stigmatist, the Breton Stigmatist. expanded upon the story of 3 days of darkness. So she pretty much picked up the baton and ran with it. According to Jahini, it would occur on a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All of hell would be loose to strike at those outside of their homes and those without a, and here it is again, those who do not possess a blessed candle of pure wax. These candles would miraculously stay aflame the entire period of the 3 days and three nights, but not light at all in the houses of the godless. Now, what's up with these candles? Why do they keep referencing these candles? I did a little research on this. I'm going to read this. Candles, when blessed, again, this is all it's steeped in Catholicism, are one of the greatest sacramentals of the church, given to us directly through the liturgy, and are magnificent and an important symbol of Christ. Again, this is not from Christianity, but from Catholicism. The pure wax made by virginal bees is a symbol of the pure flesh of the Savior coming from the Blessed Virgin Mary. The candle's wick represents our Lord's human soul, and the flame of the lighted candle signifies his divinity. They have also been lit by Catholics for centuries as a symbol of prayer. Think about it, guys. When there is a when there's a horrific event and people gather around and what do they do? They have these vigils for them. They're all lighting these candles. And again, this is brought into the Christian circles and Christian churches as well. This is where all this derives from. And so all this is connected to this alleged prophecy. All right, now let me say this. Again, there's videos, blogs, podcasts, and so forth that's circulating this stuff, this nonsense. And by the way, this stuff circulates every single year, guys. I remember this stuff back in 2011. There was a comet that was seen in heaven called Comet Elenin. Some of y'all have no clue what I'm talking about. Some of y'all remember this. There was a comet that appeared out of nowhere, just kind of like this horned devil comet that we're about to see come through the atmosphere. I'll talk about that just a second as well. But this thing was causing atmospheric disturbances. It was causing some weird stuff going on the earth. That was the same year that we had those massive earthquakes. One was in Japan. One was in New Zealand. We had the tsunami. We had all that stuff. But it was called Comet Elenin, E-L-E-N-I-N-E, or E-L-E-N-I-N. And they gave it the acronym E-L-E. Now, of course, there was some conspiracy blogs that went completely nuts with this stuff, and they called this, when they picked up on the first three letters of the name of this comet, they used that acronym for extinction level event. So they were, now tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. They went on the blogs, they went on the YouTube, they went on the Facebook, they went on the social media, and they began to circulate that this is a killer comet that we was going to see. Ready for this? It was going to hit the earth and it was going to cause 3 days and three nights of darkness. Well, guess what? It never happened. But then you fast forward and this stuff started circulating again in 2012. It circulated in 2020. It's almost every year or every couple years or any major event that has to do with astronomical events, celestial events, this 3 days and three nights, quote unquote, prophecy surfaces again. So today I wanted to bring you the origin of this. Where did this originate from? I just showed you it is steeped into Catholicism. This is a false prophecy. It is not in the Bible. It's not, nowhere was it described by John or Daniel, who spoke of future events. The only reference to 3 days of darkness in the scriptures is in the book of Exodus chapter 10, and it's a past tense event that happened thousands of years. It was one of the plagues of Egypt, and it was darkness over the face of Egypt, not the world. And I want to expound a little bit more on that. And this, listen, guys, this was a judgment. This was a judgment from God, because the plague of darkness is also a mockery of Egypt, because you got to understand, Egypt was riddled with false gods. One of them was the god of Ra. This was the sun god. Ra was believed to be the provider of light and warmth. But not only that, Pharaoh was considered the physical representation of Ra. Other gods that Egypt had during that time that would be considered was Horus. He was the god of the sky. And another most widely worshipped Egyptian god was Nut. And he was she was the goddess of the sky and all of the heavenly bodies, including the nighttime sky. All these Egyptian deities would have been completely shamed and they were judged. Guys, there was 10 plagues. And the reason why there was 10 plagues sent from God, Elohim, Yahweh, is because there was 10 major idols in Egypt, and God sent 10 plagues to bring judgment to the 10 major gods of Egypt. Okay, so listen, all of this is circulating, and they're saying, well, this 3 days and three nights of darkness is going to be linked to the great American eclipse on April 8th. This solar eclipse, this is going to be more than an eclipse. It's going to be 3 days and three nights of darkness. Well, guys, the only problem with that is, some simple research will tell you that a total solar eclipse lasts anywhere from 10 seconds to about 7.5 minutes in span. In fact, in the longest span of history, from 12,000 years from 4,000 BC to 8,000 AD, the longest total solar eclipse will occur on July 16th, 2186. Don't worry, none of us will be here. Again, on July 16th, 2186, the longest eclipse ever will be recorded, and it will be 7 minutes and 29 seconds. But ain't nobody here going to be alive to remember it, so it don't matter. Now, I know this is going to be a great shock, but then you take a little bit step further. You go a little bit further, you do some more research, and you'll discover, you know how many people I've seen try to connect this solar eclipse and 3 days of darkness with the rapture of the church. They even go as far as to say that that this solar eclipse is not only a sign of the 3 days of darkness, but it's a sign of the rapture. And again, massive problem with that. There's no scripture for that. There is not a single scripture, guys, in the Bible that says that when you see a solar eclipse, the rapture is going to happen. There's no scripture that says when you see 3 days of darkness, that the rapture is going to happen after that 3 days of darkness. Again, these are private interpretations. And you say, well, why are you even bringing this up, Brother Ricky? Because listen, that's what we do at End Time Headlines. Not only do we inform you, but we equip you. We encourage you. We want to give you revelation. We want to bring you out of darkness, no pun intended, into his marvelous light. We want to bring complete truth and revelation. We expose these things because these things cause great harm to the body of Christ because people are falling for this stuff. So listen, I started doing some research because I wanted to know what could have been, what was this plague? And what could it have been that actually caused 3 days of darkness? Think about that in Egypt. Because that's just how my mind goes. I wanted to know this. The source of this darkness has never been truly known. We can only speculate. But when you start digging into this, it has been explained in different various ways. For example, some have said this was a dust storm. But it's probably unlikely that that was the case. Because that would not result in utter darkness for 72 hours. And it wouldn't be connected just to Egypt. Others have thought it was a solar eclipse, but we just went over that. It couldn't be a solar eclipse because there's no record in history of a solar eclipse lasting 3 days and three nights. Secondly, the Israelites, the Bible says they had light, but the Egyptians didn't. And a solar eclipse, guys, I'm not going to go on one side of the town and it's light and the other side's not. Thirdly, it says that, according to the alleged prophecy of 3 days and three nights of darkness across the whole world, that completely does away with a solar eclipse because a solar eclipse is not visible upon the whole world. Only certain regions and certain demographics of the world see that and experience that at one given time. So the only explanation of this, guys, this was a supernatural event of God. We may never know the true answer to this or what caused this. Now, I do find it interesting when you go to Isaiah chapter 60, there is a passage of scripture that says, for behold, let me read this again. I got ahead of myself. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness. Now, it uses a term in Hebrew called gross darkness, which means thick, dark clouds or heaviness. And it says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. In my opinion, this is giving reference to the arrival of Christ, the Messiah, when he came on the scene the first time. Because what? Remember what the prophet said? He became a light to the Gentiles. Because there was darkness, there was a heaviness and oppressiveness over the people. But it says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has shone upon thee. And this is what, so again, they take this and they twist this out of context and they make it to be something that it's not. All right, so let's recap this. This alleged prophecy of 3 days of darkness, I have shown you and proved to you that this originates from a Catholic belief. It is of private interpretation. It is not scriptural. When you line it up with scripture, it completely falls apart. Okay? No matter how they try to fit this and sensationalize this, this solar eclipse coming in April is not a sign of the rapture. It is not the beginning of 3 days and three nights of darkness. Based on proper interpretation of scripture, it is a sign in the heavens, and more than likely, it is a harbinger to the west. And when one includes all the other events transpiring simultaneously with this event, it makes it more probable to be a harbinger or a warning from God to the west. For example, all of this coincides. There will be a horned devil comet that will be visible to the naked eye. There are planets aligning together. There is, we know of 7 cities named Jonah and the trajectory of this eclipse. We know that this Civil War movie is going to be released right in the same time frame. And the trajectory that this great American eclipse will make will form an X of the New Madrid and a place called Little Egypt. All right. And then finally, let me conclude with this. Could there be something out there? Because I know somebody's going to, I'm sitting here, I know somebody's going to ask this, and I know you're thinking this. Could it be possible that, is there something out there that could actually produce 3 days of darkness? Well, I thought of the only two things that could even remotely come close to this, and even these things fail, okay? They still don't match up to that. And that would be a solar eclipse. Now, remember, they have warned about this solar eclipse. We've covered this on many podcasts. The quote-unquote so-called experts have been warning us it's not a matter of if, but when that the sun unleashes a coronal mass ejection that can cause this solar flare, that can cause major disruptions through solar storms on the earth, that can knock out the power grid, knock us back into the 1800s. But guys, even if it did that, you're still going to have, during the daytimes, you're going to have light. Yeah, it'd be total darkness when the sun goes down, but during the day, you're going to have the light of the sun. So, but that's not what, again, if you go to the book of Exodus, when there was three, because we're always going to that reference, because that's where they're referencing this at. It says there was 3 days of darkness, complete darkness, for 3 days, three nights. So again, this doesn't really match up to that either. And then the other thing would be an EMP attack or an electromagnetic pulse bomb, again, that would be ignited over a country that would knock us into, again, same scenario, 1800s, no power, completely, society as we know would collapse. But again, you would still have the light of the sun. It's not blotting out the sun. Now, why am I saying that? Because again, going by what they're saying, and they keep referencing these scriptures in the book of Revelation, like Revelation chapter 6, where they said, and they call it a, quote, unnatural darkness, but they reference the sun becoming black as sackcloth of hair. Well, again, even in a solar eclipse, guys, when the sun is completely covered up, it's not complete darkness where you can't see your hand in front of your face, like it's referenced and mentioned here in the book of Exodus chapter 10. So guys, listen, I know some of y'all are so disappointed right now because you thought Brother Ricky was going to get on here and I was going to be an echo chamber to all these other people and tell you that there's coming 3 days and three nights of darkness and you better be prepared and all this stuff. Nope. That's not what I come by to tell you today. I've come by to expose this nonsense and tell you to stay in the Bible, stay in the Word of God. Yes, there's coming celestial events. Yes, there's coming great and fearful sights from heaven. And guess what? These things have been foretold in prophecy found in the Bible, spoken of by Jesus himself and also confirmed by other prophets. Okay, so again, if you stick to the scriptures, you can't go wrong. So come on, be some good Bereans. Go home and do your research. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Search these things out and see if they be true. So listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. Listen, please share this. If you know people that are spreading that nonsense, you need to invite them to this podcast. Get this word out to them. Let them know. Let them know the truth. Let them know the reality and the truths and the origins of where all this stuff come from. Again, don't forget to download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You can pick yours up today by going to the Play Store of whatever that looks like for you, hitting yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go and be squared away. And of course, guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, all of the above, we want to give you the opportunity to support our ministry. You pray about what the Lord would do, what he would have you to do, and you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way, right down the bottom where it says donate. You can click there. Or you can give by check or money order. You can make it out to End Time Headlines right there on your screen, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So we love you guys. Thank you so much for coming on today. Again, we'll be signing off for tonight. We'll be back here, Lord willing, tomorrow night, Tuesday, March 19th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great program. Until then, may the Lord bless you. May keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.